Okay. I'd like to take a question or a comment on one of the first two talks of this morning.
I have a comment for Jean and a question for Gary. And my comment is that I can agree with much of what you say, provided we restrict our attention to thin, rather slow flows that have significant layering. Now, my question for Gary is, would you agree with that? No, let's not talk about that. I just wanted to see, I wanted to establish some common ground. Okay. Well, there was a time looking at the thin piles where I convinced myself that there was a difference with the Bagnold physics in that the particles were falling rather than flying. And it was gravity that was in fact determining the exchange of momentum in those thin piles. So I feel there may be a difference in physics. Pardon me? Pardon me? Well, I'm not saying it's coming into the constitutive relation. Well, I'm simply saying that the momentum transfer is dictated more by the particle falling under gravity than it is by flying between collisions. Well, the layering, I think, has an importance to the thin flows. Okay.
Take the liberty of answering your question as well, because
I mean this is something we talked about last week. But the
fitting form that Jean showed for that, you know, had the slight curvature in it, but nevertheless down towards the origin was a reasonable collapse, is actually identical near H stop to the Poulikin form. So the way I interpret that is that the kind of theoretical ideas that Jean was proposing are appropriate to a flow that's near H stop. But as you go to H significantly larger than H stop, you recover the Bagnold physics, but on a length scale, which is a correlation length, which you know we believe is the same as H stop, and Michel, for instance, believes is not. Well, I mean the okay, Michel, let you Michel speak softly like a gentleman, so we'll give him a mic.
Sorry, in fact it is something that Jim Jenkins talked about several years ago, and in my opinion the main difference between the flow that Jean showed and the one that's thicker is that one is dissipative, that is Jean's flow, and the one that's thicker happens to be productive. In other words, in Jean's flow, the temperature, the granular temperature, rises from the bottom up, going up, in which case the boundary is dissipating, is taking energy away. And in fact, he showed the proof of this because he was not talking about particles rebounding at the free surface, Okay, so the particles were essentially dissipating the energy to the base. Well, when it's thicker, the temperature instead goes down toward the free surface instead of going up in the previous flow. And in that case, the core is actually feeding energy into the free surface. Okay? And in that case, you do see a ballistic layer of particles rebounding and all that stuff. Yeah, and the profiles are linear when it's dissipative, and they are of the opposite concavity when it is not.
Okay. While I'm handing the microphone to Jean, there's just one remark, which is that you know, I mean, the Landry and Gary and who else was on that paper? Is that Leo? Did a very nice study where they showed a crossover exactly as, you know, as you would expect. The people towards whom I'm directing this comment aren't listening. So, with a crossover that was from the linear profile at H stop to the more Bagnold profile for H much greater than H stop, and it was exactly what you would anticipate.
So, some comments for each of you. First, I do not agree with you, Tom. This scaling is not equivalent to that of Poulikin. The Poulikin scaling implies H power 3 over 2 dependence of both the depth average velocity. When the altitude, it is the same. But all the data correspond to the same thickness layers that I studied. So the scaling is not the same, definitely. And moreover, the scaling has three adjustable parameters, alpha, beta, hc, in that one. There is no fitting parameter. The second point is for Jim. Well, mainly I agree with you, and also a precision to Gary Grest, the number of the average coordination number is not 2, is not 1, but is comprised between 3 and 4 in the flow, in the case I showed. I can perform the same experiment, I have performed the same experiment with photoelastic grains. At the same time, grains endure 3 or 4 contacts. Because the photoelasticity, this is very simple. You have to just access real contacts with light. So this is not the case of binary collision. And I agree mainly with Jim. For the same slope, but starting with different supplying condition, we can obtain either dilute collisional flows, and in that case the kinetic theory seems very appropriate, either with different way of feeding a dense flow, as I showed, and in that case my guess is that the kinetic theory is not valid. But I have a question about that. For example, in experiment in channel with fitted with the discharge of a hopper, there is an initial kinetic energy for its grains, and in the channel the flow appears purely collisional. But is it really a stationary flow? I think to the collapse, inelastic collapse processes, I cannot guarantee that this collisional aspect of and binary collisions reach a really stationary state, even if you can feed energy from the bottom. And my answer to Michel Louge, I have a movie, simple movie, concerning the granular temperature. Okay. This is an experiment performed with not with aluminum beads, which are highly frictional and which leads to a disordered parking, but with steel bearing balls. So the piling tends to be very ordered. Oh, I'm sorry, as a loop. And you see there is a real invariance of all the physics according to the normal, to the flowing plane. Yes, it is completely crystallized with bearing balls. You see that there is the physics is completely invariant according to Z. So the granular temperature is uniform. Okay. I'm sorry? Yes. But in the first movie I showed, do you think there is a real layering in that case? Yes, it was before. But the initial packing in the hopper was strongly disordered due to the friction when Yes, you're right, but okay. Because I have, this is a southeast in order to stop the, to ensure non-boundary conditions at the bottom.
Okay. We're going to take one more question before we take go for the break.
I'm surprised that there is actually a basic physical question here. Let's take a question about the comparison between two times scales, is it possible that instead of going directly to the time of the non-boundary scale,
You have just to compare the strength of the spring, the mass of a grain. Yes, but if you consider not an Hertzian contact, but a spring dashpot contact, you have a perfectly well-defined acoustic time. Yes. But I am convinced, yes, you can increase the strength of the spring without changing the main feature of what you obtained. But are you really in the condition of the shearing time is the shortest time, all one time, anyway. But no. The physics. If you know cross.
Sharing time slow for all of the other time scales.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes.
you have basically a body in the cycle.
Yes. Yes, I agree. This is a two. Yes, it is a two-dimensional visualization, but my only point of comparison with 3D experiments are those made in rotating drum by the team of Lovelace Institute in Albuquerque, concerning the rotating drum device, and there is no qualitative nor quantitative, significant quantitative change. Unfortunately, in they published a very interesting paper. They obtained a 3D imaging through nuclear magnetic resonance, and but in the paper there was only three different flow rates, and I can plot only 3 points.
Okay. Okay.
I think that as a conference organizer, I have to admit that if the purpose of this program or conference was to achieve consensus on the fundamental physics of death and angular flow, you failed. So that will have to wait until the next conference in another sunny and pleasurable spot. For now, I'd like to thank all of the speakers before the session, and at 11:15, we'll be back to hear about granular Zen from Phil Garrett.